If you're a Christian, you ought to be glad as well. We have atonement. We have a covering for our sins, and that is the blood of Christ. God bless you. Thank you, Brother Bob. Great job. If you have your Bible this morning, open to Psalm 23. Psalm 23, a very familiar passage. You probably have it memorized. A special welcome to those of you in the modern service today. Thank you for your watching. And Brother Earl, thank you for watching too. I told you I'd do it. Don't tempt me. I'd do it. All right. Everybody excited to be listening to God's Word today? All right. Verses 1 through 6. Psalm of David, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still, quiet waters. He restores my soul. He leads or guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou dost prepare, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over, overflows. Surely goodness and mercy, loving kindness, will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever and ever. Isn't that good? That's good. Let's pray. Father, I pray today that every heart would be encouraged by our understanding the benefits we have as your sheep. Thank you, Lord, for being our shepherd. Thank you for salvation. And I pray that from the message this morning, you'll encourage that one person that is so close to making a commitment to Christ. Today would be the day. We lift up the moment, the hour, the time to you. Holy Spirit of God, we beseech you to do what no man can do. We pray it in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. 8 years ago on Slemish Mountain in Northern Ireland, two sheep got lost when a terrible blizzard dumped 6 feet of snow on the Wallace family farm. Can you imagine 6 feet of snow? Sam Wallace runs the farm and he's the shepherd who takes care of all the sheep. On that spring day in 2013, when this blizzard hit, all the sheep were accounted for except for two, which managed to be separated from the rest of the sheep and the shepherd and get trapped in a ditch near a stone wall. The 6 feet of snow totally covered the sheep and the stone wall. But the shepherd, the sheep managed to survive in an air pocket next to the stone wall. And get this, they survived 23 days underneath the snow without food. The snow gave these two sheep access to water as it melted, but they had no food for 23 days. Fortunately, the snow melted enough where a neighbor could spot the two missing sheep one day while walking his dog and Mr. Wallace the shepherd. He did not think the sheep could ever have survived in the snow for so long, but they did. He said it was a miracle they were still alive. After it was all over, Wallace laughed and he said, well, the two sheep seem now to have a whole new fleece on life. True story. The moral of the story is when you're separated from the shepherd, you get in big trouble, but you can always return. That's the good news. It's believed David wrote Psalm 23 later in his life after the death of King Saul, after the death of his own son Absalom, who both tried to kill David. Looking back over the previous decades of his life, David realized the Lord had taken care of him like a shepherd takes care of his sheep. God had given him the provision, the protection, and the peace. And since God had been with him in the past, David could trust God would take care of him in the future. Commentator John Phillips wrote, God takes care of our frailty, he takes care of our foes, and he takes care of our future. Apart from our shepherd, we have good reason to worry about our frailty, our foes, and our future, but with the shepherd, the true believer in Christ has no need to worry about these things. You might say, well, wait a minute, brother pastor, what do you mean no need to worry? Have you looked at the news lately? 2021 has already had 18 major disasters, 2 floods, 9 severe storms, a hurricane, 4 tropical cyclones, and a major wildfire. 2 million people were displaced by floods in China, killing over 300 people in one Chinese province alone. There were huge earthquakes in Alaska, Crete, Greece, Egypt, Turkey, and Bali. Volcanoes in Europe. The Canary Islands displacing 7,000 people. Here in America, there's empty shelves. There's skyrocketing gas prices, skyrocketing food prices. In fact, when you look at the prices in the store, all you can do, it's all you can do to keep from smacking your cheeks like the little boy in Home Alone when you look at the prices, right? Jamie and I were in the store this past week, and I heard a lady yelling at her husband, "Can we just maintain a positive attitude, please?" That's a quote. And we were only in the canned vegetable section. Folks, I'm going to be honest. Let's be honest. America is in a mess. A mess. Stonebridge High School in Virginia this past recently saw a boy wearing a skirt claiming to be transgender waltzing into a girl's bathroom, raping a little girl. It barely makes news. Parents who object to critical race theory being taught to their kids are called domestic terrorists. Friend, no doubt about it, America is changing quickly. It is a blizzard of craziness out there. And a lot of folks are worried and wondering about the future. This is not a time to be like the two sheep who got lost in the snowstorm in Northern Ireland. It's a time for the sheep to be near the shepherd, really near the shepherd. It's a time for everyone to be reminded that when you're living in tough times, P.S., we're in them, you'll always have these three benefits of having Jesus as your shepherd. Question of the day, here it is. You're a sheep. It's a blizzard outside these four walls. What do you do? Answer, stick with the shepherd, closely with the shepherd. Why? Because of these benefits. What benefits? Number one, when Jesus is your shepherd, you'll have no wants in life. No wants in life. Look in 1-3. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, leads me beside still quiet waters. He restores my soul, guides me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Now, David knew the job description of a shepherd very well because he'd been one a long time. And David knew what he had done for his sheep that the Lord had done for him. And the first part of a shepherd's job was feeding and providing for the needs of the sheep. And David said that's exactly what God had done for him, making him lie down in green pastures, literally pastures of tender grass. Not just old ordinary grass, but really good tender grass. Amazoia kind of grass. I don't know what kind it was. Beside the quiet waters, not stagnant water, not turbulent rough water, but fresh, gentle flowing water that was perfect for the sheep. And the shepherd doesn't just guide his sheep. He guides them in paths of righteousness as opposed to paths where there's evil and danger. The shepherd takes care of the needs of his sheep with food and water and guidance. And isn't that exactly what the Lord does for us? As we follow him, obey him, do what he's told us to do, he meets our needs and often our wants. Matthew 6:26, Jesus said, "Look at the birds. If God takes care of them, he'll surely take care of you. If he provides for the lilies of the field, he'll surely take care of you." You say, well, those are birds and flowers, not people. Exactly. Are birds and lilies created in the image of God? Let me help you out. No. Are they joint heirs with Jesus Christ? No. Did Jesus die for birds and flowers? No. Do birds and flowers have a home prepared in heaven? And the answer is no. But God takes care of them. Therefore, we can be certain if he does it for them, he'll take care of us. God will give us what we need when we need it, even though he does expect us to work and give and save. It's possible he can take away what we don't need, but he will meet our needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Somebody once went to John Wesley and they said, "Mr. Wesley, your house just burned down." Wesley said, No, it hasn't, because I don't have a house. The one I've been living in belongs to the Lord, and if the Lord burned it down, it's one less responsibility that I have to worry about. John Wesley did not die of starvation or dehydration or exposure to the elements. He died of natural causes at age 87. Same is true for King David. David did not die of starvation, dehydration, or exposure to the elements. He died of natural causes at age 70. Some people say the great missionary Lottie Moon died of starvation. Well, that's not technically correct. In 1912, there was a terrible famine in China. Lottie Moon had plenty of food. She just chose to give it away to the Chinese children until at her death, she only weighed 50 pounds. And technically, she didn't die of starvation. She died of an infection behind her ear at 72 years of age. But she didn't starve to death because she didn't have food. William Carey didn't starve to death. He died of a fever at age 73. Adoniram Judson lived to be 62. He died on board a ship in the Bay of Bengal. Point being, none of these believers starved to death, dehydrated to death, or died from exposure to the elements. It's because the Lord was their shepherd. He took care of their needs and their wants. Psalm 37:25, one of my favorite. David wrote, "I was young and now I'm old." I love that. I don't know why, but I like that more every day. "I was young and now I am old. Yet I have never seen," are you ready? "I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging bread." Now, you might find a few examples of Christians in time and history who were persecuted for their faith by starvation. Third century Emperor Decius required Christians to sacrifice to him as being God, lest they be tortured to death. And when they said no, seven of his own soldiers converted to Jesus, and they said no. He locked them in a cave, and all seven died of dehydration and starvation. But that does not change the principle here that God takes care of his children and the shepherd takes care of his sheep. I'm going to ask you a question. It's not a trick question. Just think about the answer before you answer, okay? And I'll ask you to raise your hand. Raise your hand if you have ever starved to death. If you've ever starved, I don't mean metaphorically. I mean you died. You literally died by starvation. You died. Not me. No, we're all good. Modern service, how many of you folks there literally starved to death? Raise your hands. No, starved to death. There we go. All right. How many of you here today have died of dehydration or exposure to the natural, to the elements? How many of you have Christian friends that have starved to death or died of dehydration, exposure to the elements? Died? No. None of us have, and we probably don't know anyone who has. Why is that? It's because the shepherd takes care of his sheep. Now, there are those, no doubt, who have serious short-term needs for food and clothing and shelter, and that's why we financially support in our church budget the Lighthouse, a great ministry where many professions of faith have been made and lives changed. Praise God for the Lighthouse and those who minister there, as well as Brother Steve Turbyville. God bless him. Praise God that the Lord is our shepherd and he takes care of our wants and our needs. We work and we earn, yes. We earn and we save, yes. We save and we give to support the Lord and his work, yes. But the Lord meets our needs because the shepherd takes care of his sheep with green grass and peaceful water and righteous guidance. In all those years of running from Saul and Absalom, David never once starved, dehydrated, or stumbled into the enemy's hands, resulting in his own death. God kept him where he needed to be, guided him where he needed to go. And can't we also say the same thing looking back at our lives? As we followed the shepherd and obeyed his commands, hasn't he also met our needs and guided us where we needed to be? Paul told the Philippians, "I know how to get along with humble means and I know how to get along in prosperity, but I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am," whatever circumstances. Now, Paul was martyred for his faith, but he sure didn't starve, dehydrate, or die of exposure to the elements. Until God called him home, Paul could say, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." And friend, when Jesus is your shepherd and you're walking with him and following his commands, you will not want for food or water or godly guidance. Yeah, you might go through some tough, difficult times, but you have the promise God will be with you, sustain you, and take care of you. Now, let me just make something clear here. That doesn't mean we just sit in a chair and say, "Okay, God, here I am, feed me. Let the food just fall right, just rain manna right from heaven like it did." Not what it means. Why, even the birds of the air have to work and look for food, as did David and Paul and the apostles. You know why Jesus was a carpenter? You know why he was a carpenter? Because it took money to buy food. The one who had the power to create fish and bread out of an empty basket or a basket with just a little bit in it, for thousands, still gave us an example of how God meets our needs when we work. And the fact that work is required to get food is proven by 2 Thessalonians 3:10. Paul said, "If a man won't work, don't let him eat." The Garden of Eden was filled with fruits and vegetables, filled. But Adam and Eve still had to do a little work to gather the fruits and vegetables, didn't they? The fruits and vegetables didn't grow legs and walk to where they were. They had to be gathered. And likewise, God will meet our needs, but we must be willing to work. And you show me, listen, you show me a Christian not afraid to work and follow the Lord's commands, and I'll show you a believer who has bread enough and to spare, along with all they need and probably a lot of things they want. I love the story of Robert Gilmore Letourneau, R.G. Letourneau, born in Vermont, grew up in Minnesota. He went out to California. R.G., as his parents called him, was one of eight children, and his parents were poor. They were very, very poor. So poor that R.G. dropped out of school at age 14 to be an iron worker for the East Portland Iron Works. When East Portland Iron Works went out of business, he got a job pulling up stumps. And by the way, that's a pretty lucrative business. Now, if you're a stump grinder, those guys make pretty good money. In World War I, he worked at the Navy Yard, and he got Spanish flu and almost died. His sister was a missionary to China, and she told her brother how he could be saved, and R.G. Letourneau was saved, I think, at 16 years of age. A pastor told R.G., and this is really good, this is profound. The pastor told R.G. that God needs Christian businessmen as much as he needs Christian pastors. Well, that takes Christian businessmen and elevates it, right? I mean, we're all important in the kingdom of God. He said, yeah, God needs businessmen as much as pastors. At age 32, R.G. bought a used tractor, an old tractor. We're going to have some old tractors at our fall festival next week, aren't we? And he began moving dirt as a business. His dirt moving business grew and grew, and he began inventing new dirt moving machines. He got like 30-some patents, I believe. He invented the land train, the log pickup, and even the offshore oil rig. OLG invented that oil rig. By 1970, the name L.G. Letourneau was on over half the oil drilling platforms in the world and on most all the earth-moving machinery in the world. He had gone from extreme poverty to prosperity. But you know what I like about this guy? Yeah, you Baptist preachers, you would have to mention what I'm going to mention. Here it comes. Here comes the train. Until his death in 1969, he lived on 10% of what God gave him, and he gave away 90% to his church and Christian causes. Gave away 90, kept 10%. And because of his willingness to work until L.G. Letourneau died, he can say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." No, serving God won't make you rich. Giving money away won't make you rich. But friend, if you're willing to work and follow the Lord's commands, you will never go hungry. You'll never go hungry. That sounds pretty radical, doesn't it? You won't go hungry. When Jesus is your shepherd, you'll have no wants in life. Number two, no worries about death. No worries about death. Look in 4 and 5. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," it's only a shadow, "I fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou dost prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil, my cup overflows." Context is important here. David was thinking back to all those years he had run from Saul and Absalom. Sadly, Saul was his father-in-law and Absalom his son. But even though they were both chasing him, trying to kill him, showing that as he ran through these valleys, it was like the shadow of death, they did not catch him. They did not kill him because God protected him. The shepherd's rod and staff were the part that was used to defend off the animals. God's rod and staff protected David from Saul and Absalom and their soldiers. In fact, it was almost as if God himself had put out a spread of food in front of David's enemies where David could dine in peace and not have to worry about them killing him. I mean, they were out to get him. It's like God says, here's a banquet table of food. Sit and enjoy. Don't worry. God was protecting David. As much as Saul and Absalom wanted to kill him, they would not, could not. David was so safe in the shelter of the protection of God, it's like God had anointed his head with oil, an act of celebration. His cup was running over, a sign of joy. Good reason to worry. But he said, "I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil." What did Paul tell the Philippians? "Be anxious for nothing, but in every situation, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God." Isaiah 41:10, "Do not fear," God said, "I'm with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God." 1 Peter 5:7, "Cast all your care, anxiety on him, for he cares for you." Ecclesiastes 1:8, don't worry about your life. Jesus quoted that, Matthew 6:25, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about it. God will be with you in the valley of the shadow of death, and God will be with you in the presence of your enemies. And instead of worrying, celebrate and be joyous that God is your protector. He's your protector. I love the poem an 8-year-old boy, David Combs, wrote. In fact, this is one of my top favorites. This young 8-year-old boy was told by the doctor he had cerebral palsy and would lose his vision and most of his hearing. And here's what David wrote, this 8-year-old boy. It's a poem called Tomorrow's Bridge. And here's what it says. Tomorrow's bridge, as I look ahead, is a rickety thing to view. Its piers are crumbling, its rails are down, its floor would let me through. The chasm it spans is dark and deep, the waters foam and fret. Man, I've crossed that bridge 1,000 times, but I've never reached it yet. It's crashed beneath me to let me through, although it is miles away. How strange, the bridges I've all crossed have all been safe today. Perhaps I shall find, when I reach the one that lies in the distant blue, some hand may have mended its rickety frame and its piers are strong and new, and I shall cross over lighthearted and free, like a bird on the buoyant air. Forgive me, Lord, for my fearful heart, my anxious and foolish care. That's a great poem. I love that. Tomorrow's bridge. We see things in the future. We worry about what if, what if, what if, what if. But it's amazing as we look back. Well, wait a minute. God has taken care of us in the past, met our needs, protected us. God's hand is there with us in the valley of the shadow of death, in the presence of our enemies. The shepherd protects his sheep in the good times and the bad times. And if something bad happens, like certainly it seemed it was happening to David as he was running for all those years, being chased, we can trust God's allowing the bad to accomplish something we don't understand for a purpose we don't understand. As David ran during those years from Saul and Absalom, it was those years he was writing the Psalms for you and me. And had he not been running, we wouldn't have most of the Psalms in our psaltery. So yeah, God, thank you that you were there with him protecting him, but thank you that he was on the run. Here's the bottom line. When God is your shepherd, when Jesus is your shepherd, you'll have no wants in life, no worries about death. And number three, no wondering about eternity. No wondering about eternity. Verse 6, surely goodness and loving kindness, mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord for a week or two, month or two, year or two, millennium or two. No, forever, forever. Forever. God's goodness and mercy not only go with us through this life, they go with us beyond this life into eternity, where the shepherd sheep know the Lord, they will live with the Lord forever. As long as David lived in the circle of God's mercy and grace and loving kindness, he knew he was under God's protection, and that extends beyond this life. If you're a Christian, you live within the circle of God's goodness and mercy, and you need not worry about where you'll spend eternity. That's good. John 3:16 promises when you believe in Jesus, you have everlasting life. 1 John 5:13, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. To believe means to have a conviction that's so strong it changes your life. The moment you believe Jesus is Lord and Savior, a life-changing conviction, at that moment you're justified by faith, declared righteous, and that's a standing with God that can never be changed. Goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life, and you'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever, and not have to worry. Listen, not have to worry if you've done enough good works to get to heaven on your own. Not have to worry if you've been good enough to get to heaven. Not have to try hard enough to be religious enough. Friend, when you can say, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness, I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Not the labor of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. These for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. When you can say that, you know what is called, Hebrews 4, the rest of faith. It means you're trusting that what Jesus did on the cross in that basket of suffering on those hours on Calvary's mountain, that is enough for me to pay for my sins. And when it's enough to pay for your sins, and then you're liberated to live and to serve like we should do. David knew his trust was in the Lord. He knew having his trust in the Lord meant he did not have to worry and wonder about eternity. One of the opening questions we're going to have, pray for our SOS teams. That'll be sharing next week for Bob and Ginger and all those that'll be working. Many of you teenagers are helping in SOS. Thank you for doing that. There'll also be a Roman road table for Spanish. And one of the questions that Brother Ray and I will be asking is basically, are you 100% sure heaven is your final destination? That's kind of the opening question. Are you 100% sure? Hasta 100% seguro de que el cielo es tu destino final. It's an important question. Are you 100% sure? We find that most people say they're 80% seguro. Are you 80%? 90%? 90%? But they usually fall around 80% sure. You know, God wants no one less than 100% certain heaven is your final destination. And God doesn't want you, dear friend, less than 100% certain that heaven is your final destination. He don't want you wondering about where you're going to spend eternity. He don't want you thinking anything you've done other than trusting in what Jesus did on the cross is part of the equation of getting you to heaven or me to heaven. It is not. What a joy to know that your trust in Jesus and sins are forgiven, and you can say with peace and confidence, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When Jesus is your shepherd, you don't have to worry about eternity. And that brings me to the big question of today. The big question, the really big question. You ready? Do you know that you know that you know that you have had a definite personal salvation experience with Jesus Christ that's changed your life? Amen? I hope you can say that today. I know that I know that I know. I've had a definite personal salvation experience with Jesus Christ, and my life is different. My life has changed. The conviction I now hold has changed my life. Someone has said there's three categories of people. One, those who are secure but not sure. Two, those who are sure but not secure. And three, those who are both secure and sure. Now, some believers are truly saved, but they lacked assurance. They just need to read 1 John 5:12, 1 John 5:13. Some profess salvation, but man, you'd never know it by the way they live. Rarely ever darken a church door, live in sin. Life's never been transformed, changed for the power of Christ. No radically life-changing conviction. And then some are saved and secured, and their lives have been changed by the power of Christ. And so of the three, which are you? One, two, or three? Today you can be secure and sure. Secure and sure. True story, dear friend. 8 years ago, two sheep got separated from their shepherd on Sam Wallace's farm in Northern Ireland. And they were lost in the snow, covered by the snow, for 23 days. They almost perished. They almost died. But after 23 days, the sun began to shine and the snow began to melt, and they were spotted and brought home to their shepherd. Friend, listen, today God's sun is shining for you. The Son of God is shining His truth on your heart today, and it's a pleasant, warm place to be. It's time to come home to your shepherd. If you're far away from God, it's time to come home. Don't stay out there in the blizzard. Come home. You say, Pastor, you just don't know. I've wandered far away from God. Now you can come home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Today it's time to come home. Coming home, coming home, never more to roam. Open wide, Lord, your arms of love, and now I'm coming home. It's time to come to your senses, get up, and come home to your waiting Father. The light is on for you. Join me in prayer, please. Father, we thank you for being our shepherd. Thank you for protecting us, providing for us, and giving us peace in our heart about eternity. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done that makes it possible that we can be your sheep. Thank you, God, for your love for us. If there's one in this service, one in the modern service who's far away from you, not living as they ought to be living. Maybe they've never had a definite personal salvation experience. Maybe something religious happened when they were young, but they don't know what it was and they don't remember what it was, and really their life hadn't changed much because of what it was. Lord, let today be the day that they experience real saving faith and have a conviction that changes their life. Thank you, Lord, for repentance and faith in Christ Jesus and what it means. Maybe for one, Lord, who has been saved, maybe they're secure, but they're not sure, and I pray you'll give assurance to them. Maybe they need to rededicate their life to you. Maybe Scott Lake is where you want them to be as a church family. And join this church family here at Scott Lake. God, give peace and clarity in their hearts and their minds. Thank you, Lord, that you're desiring that we come back to you. I pray for those in the Life Center. Pray for those here in the Worship Center. Pray for those at home. Those who might listen on podcast, we pray for them as well. Bless this invitational moment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand and sing probably my favorite invitational hymn, 329, Grace Greater Than All of Our Sin. I'll be at the front. I got a mask. If you need to pray with me, be happy to pray. If you have questions, I can put you with someone of like gender that can talk to you in a quiet place and answer all your questions with an open Bible. We're here for you. 329, let's stand. I'll wait for you. You come on right now. To sing one more verse this morning again, in your mind, in your heart, are you 100% sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven? 100% sure. And if you were to die today and stand before God, and I hope you don't today, I certainly don't hope any of us die today. The trumpet may sound today, but I hope you don't die today. But if you were to die today and stand before God, and He were to ask you, why should I let you into my heaven? What do you think you would say? I've done the best I can. I tried to keep the commandments. I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I had a conviction He's the risen Lord and Savior, and I remember that day long ago. And if you've not done that, why not do it right now? Why would you wait? You're amidst those who love you, church family. You're amidst sheep, and sheep will love you. And so, come on. Last verse, if you need to come, why not come today? Don't wait. Don't procrastinate. This is for you. Let's sing the last verse. Dark is my sin, and we cannot hide. What can a man do? Wash it away. God's grace only once a time. Why can it so forget tonight. We'll be having our worship service at 6 o'clock, not 6:30, 6 o'clock tonight in the Life Center. And the ministry fair starts at 5. That's different ministries our South Florida Baptist Association has and supports. I know that Trinity Security and where's Brother Tim? Tim, where are you? You're in here, I know. Oh, he's not here. He's outside. Well, I know they're going to be there. There you are, hiding amidst the Lilliputians. I didn't see you. But we have Trinity Allies as one of our mission fairs at 5 o'clock. We have a bunch of other ones that'll be there. The service starts at 6 o'clock, and so I hope you can come for that. All the Southern Baptist churches meet together, and we have, like I said, we have Dr. Jim Henry will be preaching, and you should come. If you're here at 6 o'clock, I would say this. We're guessing service be over about 7:30 or so, 7:40, you know, but that'll be tonight. Hope you can come. Hope you'll come. And again, be praying for next Sunday. We'll have a lot of people here. There'll be a lot of people here. I think I said that once. Pray for the SOS team. Pray for the Roman Road team. And that is Brother Ray Ojeda. He's my helper. When I fumble and stumble, he picks up the ball and scores the touchdown. He's my go-to guy, my closer, and I appreciate you, brother, for helping out. And probably be more than helping, but thank you. God bless you. Appreciate you. Well, he's having our prayer for our offering today. So, Brother Ray, thank you for your availability. Appreciate you and your dear family. God bless you both. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as he has a prayer for the offering today.
All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for the message we heard today, Lord. Thank you for reminding us that you are our shepherd through the good, through the bad. You're always with us. You protect us. We thank you, Lord, for the ability to give back a little bit to you of all the blessings that you bestow upon us, Lord. We pray that you multiply them, that you bless them, Lord, and that they be used for the furtherance of your kingdom, both here in Lakeland and throughout the world. We ask you these things in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen.
Amen.